Good morning, would you please stand?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Choke down our nerve. This morning we have some presentations. We have the Asthma Awareness Month in Stanislaus County, Dr. Wallace Carroll.
Good morning. Just a comment. Happy to be here with you. This is Asthma Awareness Month. I was in Washington, D.C. this last weekend, at a meeting of the EPA, and the EPA is wondering how communities are dealing with asthma. So in a sense, I represented you and our community there, and I was happy because we have an asthma program. The Asthma Coalition has worked with air quality flags in the schools, and we have various teaching opportunities, one on the 28th of June for physicians to learn about the latest treatments of asthma and so on, and school programs and so on. So I appreciate your support, and I appreciate the fact that there's a proclamation. I was looking at last year's proclamation. It's on the internet, and that you all voted aye for the proclamation and so on. But that's all I have to say, really, this morning.
Thank you, Dr. Carroll. I have a resolution up here for you. Would you like to come up here?
Okay, thank you.
I'm not going to read this whole thing, but on behalf of the board, it's my pleasure to give this resolution to you this morning. And for what you do, and we appreciate it. And we did all vote aye.
That's right.
Huh?
I appreciate that. We have members of the coalition here. I just wanted to say greet them. So you want to just stand up? So a couple of our coalition members who accompany me today. There's about 40 people or so who are on the coalition, all volunteers who are working on asthma in the community. So we just thank you very much.
Thank you.
The next one, we have a resolution for the Older American Month in Stanislaus County. I can qualify for that.
You certainly can.
Morning, Mark.
Good morning, members of the board, Chairman Mayfield, Margie Palomino with the Department of Aging and Veteran Services. We are here this morning to ask to proclaim May as Older American Month. For 45 years, our nation has set aside the month of May to celebrate and pay tribute to older Americans. Today, the Area Agency on Aging and the Commission on Aging are asking the Board of Supervisors to proclaim May as Older Americans Month in Stanislaus County. During this special month, the President of the United States highlights the ongoing contribution of our older citizens with a national proclamation. In Stanislaus County, we are asking all of you to honor and thank all of the older citizens for their contributions to their respective communities. There are various events planned in our county throughout the month of May to celebrate and honor our senior citizens. On Friday, May 9th, from 8 to 3:30, the Stroke Resources and Doctors Medical Center Foundation will be presenting a stroke awareness symposium at the Sutter Grove Conference Center. On Saturday, May 10th, from 9 to 2, the Ombudsman Program will be presenting the second annual Walk in the Park Senior Information Day at Graceda Park. On Monday, May 14th, from 12:30 to 3, the Modesto Senior Center will be presenting City of Modesto Senior Information Day. On May 17th, from 8 to 11, the Healthy Aging Association will be offering their Young at Heart Walkathon. This walkathon will take place at East La Loma Park. On May 20th, the Board of Supervisors, your board, will be honoring and recognizing the 5 outstanding senior volunteers in San Luis County. This event will take place during the regular board meeting scheduled at 6:30 p.m. On May 22nd, Emmanuel Medical Center and SIPA will be presenting Healthy Senior Day at Emmanuel Medical Center in Turlock. On May 28th, from 8:30 to noon, YMCA will offer a Senior Health and Fitness Day. Lastly, on May 31st, the Gallo Arts Center will be in Corazón de Mexico Ballet Folklorico at 8 p.m. This event, thanks to the generous donations of the GI Forum, Supervisor Jim DiMartini, Hispanic Leadership Council, Comerciantes Unidos of Cross Landing, and many other organizations, have supported this event with giving 100 tickets, free tickets to Latino seniors so they can attend this cultural event. Once again, the Area Agency on Aging and Commission on Aging would like to ask the Board of Supervisors to proclaim May as Older Americans Month in San Luis County. As you can see, a lot of our community organizations have been very busy planning events to honor our senior citizens, and we would just like to ask you to please, if you could take some time of your busy schedule to attend some of these events, we would really appreciate that. At this time, I would like to ask our Commission on Aging Chair, Mickey Peabody, to please accept a proclamation on behalf of the Commission on Aging. Thank you and congratulations to all the senior citizens in San Luis County.
Thank you, Margie. For old people, we sure get we're sure busy.
Something to say about that.
Okay. Come on up and I'll let you say it. Now you have to behave up here because I have to behave too. Okay. On behalf of the board, there's a resolution.
Okay, here you go.
Thank you, and on behalf of the Commission on Aging, thank you for this proclamation and for recognizing that we are no longer elderly. We like to refer to ourselves as welderlies, and we have many great things planned for the senior community in Stanislaus County, and to be recognized is really an honor. It's time to realize that we welderlies have a great deal to contribute to our county, and we want to be thought of as contributors, not takers. Thank you for recognizing us, and we'll be out there working on behalf of the county and behalf of the senior citizens in Stanislaus County.
Thank you. Thank you. No, you did have a lot to say. Well, I'm wondering about did DeMartini buy 100 tickets?
Yes.
Is that what he did?
Yes.
No. What I was thinking is, come on, DeMartini, let's spread them around the board here a little bit, okay? Thank you.
All
right. DeMartini, you make it look bad, DeMartini.
Yeah, this is actually a particularly significant presentation for me, as I do turn 55 in about 3 months, so I'll be joining the ranks of the elderly in about 3 months.
God, I can't remember when I was 55.
Is there such a number?
Huh?
Is there such a number?
No, it's been a long time ago. The next thing we have a resolution up here for the Elder and Dependent Adult Abuse Awareness Month in San Luis County. Egon.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairman Mayfield, members of the board. My name is Egon Stammer. I'm from the Community Services Agency with responsibility over the adult programs. We're here to ask you to proclaim May as Elder and Dependent Adult Abuse Month. We hope to raise awareness in the community about adult abuse. What does elder abuse look like? Bruises on a body, a drugged, lethargic elder? More often than not, elder abuse looks like an empty bank account, a stolen home, possessions suddenly gone missing. Some of these incidents are big and dramatic and make the paper, as several have done in our community in the past few years. Most, however, are never seen or heard about. The victims suffer in silence and don't know what to do or where to go. Some of these stories are hard to hear. We had a 90-year-old living in a home receiving hospice care, which means that she was close to the end of her life. Her adult child, who had access to her bank account, emptied those accounts, sold the home and had her evicted. When the APS became involved, we were in the process of stopping the eviction when she unfortunately died, and that ended our involvement in the case. Another situation involved a couple who had, were very frail elderly gentleman was taking care of his invalid wife, and she couldn't be left alone. Their adult son had power of attorney and was responsible to take care of the home. The roof collapsed in the kitchen, the floor in the bathroom was collapsing, plumbing worked intermittently. What our caseworker had to do was literally to have the home deemed uninhabitable in order to force the adult son to make repairs. It took many contacts and many follow-ups to get this home fixed. Many of these kinds of situations are not immediately recognized as abuse and neglect. The worker has often to work through several layers to get the real situation that needs to be corrected. Being dependent and old is frightening. Often the victims refuse to point the finger at family members. More likely, they are embarrassed and ashamed of being victimized. No one really knows how many elders are abused or neglected. We do know that we received 2,130 reports of abuse and neglect last year in Stanislaus County, and we investigated 1,755 reports. In this county, we're very lucky to have broad community support from both public and private agencies. We've acknowledged this support in the past by having this proclamation presented to them. We have, however, never recognized our own staff and felt it was appropriate to finally do so. We have 11 social workers dedicated to APS at the Community Services Agency. Three people staff the intake line, which refers calls to the appropriate service. The other eight staff conduct the bulk of the investigations in the county, just eight people. We also have a district attorney investigator working with us to help sort out legal and criminal matters, and we have a public health nurse who consults on medical and high-risk health cases. There are other staff in adult services who participate with the on-call rotation and who do investigations in their own in-home supportive cases. I'd like these primary APS staff to stand as I call their name, please. Yvette Benavides, Laurel Mahaney, Jennifer Walters, Debbie Toler-Gell, Peggy Taylor, Joanne Abbott, Stephen Spiegel, Jessica Gray, Benjamin Cuellar, Teresa Origo, Rosalind Mincy, and Bill Jesperson is from the District Attorney's Office that works with us, and Josefina Chung Bravo is from Public Health. I'd like to thank them for the work. I'd like the supervisor of the unit, Jose Michel, to accept the proclamation that May is Elder Abuse and Dependent Adult Awareness Month.
Thank you. Come on up. On behalf of the board and myself, here's a resolution for Elder Abuse Week, and thank you for your presentation.
Thank you, Egon. Thank you, Chairman Mayfield, and thank you, members of the board. Thank you very much for recognizing the hard work and dedication of really a high-volume producing unit, the Stanislaus County Adult Protective Services Unit. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we have a couple of people who would like to speak, but we'll do that as soon as we pull this in here. Okay, we have a consent counter. I'm asked to pull B6 and it would be A3. Okay? Well, so I need a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like A2C pulled as well.
A2C.
A2C.
Okay. With that one there, is there a motion? We'll pull B6. Okay, I need a second. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried 5-0. Oh. Do you need to move out?
You going to take A2C?
Yeah, we'll take it now.
A2C has to do with health department fees, and I pay health department fees through my business, so I'm going to step aside for this.
Okay. While he's walking out, I need a motion to to approve A to C.
Yeah, make a motion to approve. Second.
If we move and second it? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay, now B6. You.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I pulled this item not because I have a problem with it, I'm very much in favor of it, but I didn't want this to go through in a consent agenda item to without an explanation of what we're doing here at the South Modesto MAC. So I know, Raul, do you...
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Raul Mendez, senior management consultant with the Chief Executive Office. Our office has been working with the South Modesto Municipal Advisory Council and Supervisor DeMartini on bringing the recommended expansion of the South Modesto MAC boundaries to you for consideration. Essentially, there are two recommendations that we have here before you. The first is to expand the boundaries for the South Modesto Municipal Advisory Council. And second is to amend the South Modesto MAC boundary bylaws, which would include the reference to the boundary map and the legal description. Back in May of 2006, this board approved the formation of the South Modesto MAC. As part of that action, you also approved the current boundaries. If I could just highlight the current boundaries, essentially they include three communities, Bret Hart, Shackelford, and the Parkland Olympic Track area. The proposal before you today would essentially add this area here, which is commonly defined as the North Ceres area, which is, as you'll see by the right, it is an unincorporated area and adjacent to the existing area 1 and 2 that were already approved as part of the formation of the South Modesto MAC. The amendment to the bylaws, which would obviously be required, would include the revision to the boundary map and then also the legal description for the proposal Area 3. In addition, the bylaws would include an amendment to the board's goal towards or for the representation on the council in terms of where individuals are going to be coming from for the council. The South Modesto MAC has essentially been in existence for nearly 2 years. Actually, it was May 16th of 2006 that it was formed. This is an example of some of the community project efforts that this MAC, in partnership with the county and partner agencies, has been involved with since it was formed. If I could just read for the audience in the room. Neighborhood cleanup events, implementation of a countywide noise ordinance, the creation annexation to lighting districts, obviously to improve lighting from a public safety standpoint, collaboration or increased collaboration with the Coors Landing Business Association, Comerciantes Unidos, improvements to Parkland Park, which we celebrated a grand reopening just this past Saturday, expanded or enhanced after-school recreation provided to the Stanislaus County PAL, and essentially created an active voice for the community, for the South Modesto area. Other community projects are also currently underway. Essentially, those are the two recommendations before you today. I would be glad to answer any questions. I know Supervisor DeMartini wanted to highlight kind of the areas, so I would be glad to go back to the map if that would be helpful, so you can clearly see what new area would be incorporated as part of this recommendation.
Yes, Raul, if you could put the map back on, I want to explain just what it is we're doing here. The South Modesto MAC has been in existence for about 2 years, and this has been a really good thing for the community. We've done a lot of things in this community to make it better. The MAC, this particular Municipal Advisory Council, is different than any other Municipal Advisory Council we have in the county. But the other ones have specific towns, like, say, Salida or Denair or LaGrange. And these are towns that perhaps someday might become their own city. The difference is in the South Modesto Municipal Advisory Council, the ultimate goal of this area is to become an annexed to the cities. On the areas 1 and 2 would be someday hopefully be part of in the Modesto city limits, and the new area that we're bringing in area 3 would be part of Ceres. This particular area is already in the Stanislaus County Ceres Redevelopment Agency. So the goal is to upgrade the community, put in the infrastructure, and eventually have it annexed to the cities. It's a different plan than any other municipal advisory council. In the 2 years that the MAC has been in existence, we worked on a variety of community issues. We've just rededicated Park Lawn Park this weekend to $220,000 worth of improvements to the park. New bathrooms, sidewalks, playground equipment, picnic tables. And that request came from the South Municipal Advisory Council as a request to do something with that park. So we listened, we found some grant money, and we did it. We've improved the lighting district in the Olympic track, doubling the amount of light by changing just the light bulbs in that area and adding 12 more new light poles. We've had 2 community cleanups since it started. We've put in a couple of new storm drains in the Bret Hart area. We put 1 new stop sign, have a 4-way stop in the Park Lawn area. We've increased the animal control, code enforcement. The Sheriff's Department has given it a lot more attention as the Highway Patrol. And we work with the Business Association on Crow's Landing Road to try and improve the area, and notably to stop people that were selling cars in the county right-of-way competing with the car dealers that have legitimate business concerns. The area that we're bringing in area 3 that's proposed, is an area that has the same problems, the same concerns as the other 2 areas. This is a good fit for the Municipal Advisory Council to take in. I see no reason not to do it. This is a very good fit. The problems are the same, and we can address the concerns of this area at the monthly meetings. So this is kind of an unusual map, MAC, and as you can see, the area is a little bit jagged, but if we're successful in the long term, we'll improve the lives of the people in the community and eventually get them annexed to the cities. I'm very much supportive of this, and I think our chairman is here this afternoon, too.
Before I bring it to a vote of the board, Raymond Castro, would you like to speak to us?
Good morning, Chairman, and all supervisors of South Lake County. I come here to encourage the adoption of the expansion of the South Modesto Bank. It's very important that we start to look at all the problems that we have in South Modesto, including Area 3. They're all the same problems. You all have the same needs. But I believe that by doing this, we can get accomplished things a lot sooner and hopefully have a better result from the community, because when the community gets involved, we have a chance to do a little bit better when nobody shows up and nobody wants to help. But we do need to take care of these problems, and also we have some social problems in the neighborhood, as you well know. And we need to do something positive for the neighborhoods, and I believe this is the only way to do it at this point. I do thank you for your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Raven. Anita Chapa?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm Anita Chapa. I'm the vice chair of the South Modesto MAC. I also would like to encourage you to vote for Area 3. I'm here perhaps to speak on another subject that in regards to Park Lawn. We recently wrote a letter, and I believe if you haven't received your letters yet, you will. The list that we have, and I don't see anyone here from redevelopment, so I'm addressing my comments to you. In regards to Park Lawn, it is not on the list for infrastructure at all. There are other areas like Bret Hart, Shackleford Airport District, and on and on. But Park Lawn has been left off of that list. Well, I would encourage you, when you read the letter that the MAC sent you, to discuss and perhaps add Park Lawn to the list, and also to inform you that this past winter, when we did have some rain, Park Lawn is still on septic tanks. Well, they overflowed onto the streets. There was all kinds of matter and sludge on the streets, flooded. Children had to walk to school through all of that. And so I would suggest that you put Park Lawn at the top of the list for infrastructure and that they get the sewers that they so badly need. And I thank you.
Thank you. I'll bring it back to the board now. We need to pass this thing. I need a motion or our discussion.
Well, I would like to make one comment for Mrs. Chapa. The Park Lawn has been put on the list. I had it put on about 2 weeks ago. So it's officially on the list now for a sewer system. No, it's not number one. Unfortunately, you know, we have a few projects ahead of it, but it has never been on the list before, so now that it is. And we're trying to address these concerns, and that's where the South Municipal Advisory Council has been really good for the area, because it's brought the community together, where we have the Park Lawn, Bret Hart, Shackleford, and now this new area in 3. And all the concerns were the same. So it gives the community a chance to come together, address their concerns with county staff, and we've taken care of a lot of issues. Now, there's still a lot out there. You know, we're still dealing with crime and gangs and drugs and graffiti and illegal dumping, but we're addressing these things. And they were never addressed in the past, and at least now that the community has a forum once a month to bring these to the county's attention, and I go up there every month with county staff, and we listen and we react to what we can to make this community better. The Park Lawn has been put on the list, and I will send you a letter showing you its place on the list.
You want to make a motion, Jim?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I would make a motion to approve.
I need a second. If I move in a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried 5-0. Thank you. Okay. Now we go down to, we have a scheduled matter, 9:15, public hearing. A public hearing to consider amending the fire protection facilities fee for the Salina Fire Protection District to be imposed upon new development that occurs within the district. Dean?
Thank you very much, Chairman Mayfield, and members of the Board of Supervisors, Chief Executive Officer Rick Robinson, and my new boss, Jack Doran. Today and this morning for this hearing, we have together two folks that represent the Salina Fire Protection District. Sal Van Etten, who is right here, who will speak to the report. She works for the firm of Muni Financial. And the report attached to your agenda item was prepared by her firm. I believe they've been working with the Salida Fire Protection District since the original fee in 1991. They were last here in 2003 with an update to the 91, and they're coming back in a nice good 5-year period to take a look at what the fees should be going forward, at least based upon the analysis that they have conducted. And also, of course, Chief Dale Skiles is familiar to, I think, most, if not all of you. So in any event, with that, I would ask Sal Van Etten of Union Financial to go ahead and walk through, if you will, the report that they have prepared for us.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be before the Board of Supervisors of Santa Claus County. Again, as Dean Wright mentioned, this is my third time presenting documentation for the Salida Fire Protection District in terms of impact fees, and so it's been a pleasure to work with them as well. Dean also mentioned the last time this report and fees were updated was in the year 2003. This time we had two main goals in updating the documentation. One was to assure that the facilities costs had been appropriately inflated based on the district's more recent construction data. And the other one was because the Salida Community Plan was, in my understanding, finally finished and adopted, and we wanted to make sure that the demographics that had been used in the previous study were updated to represent the latest, sort of greatest planning information for the Salida Fire District area. We do recommend to most of our clients that they consider an update of an annual update for inflation purposes. Some clients do that, some do not. In this case, my understanding is it has not been updated at all since 2003. I'd like to bring your attention actually to the board report, because I think most people like to kind of look at the bottom line, although I'm happy to go through as much detail as you like, any of the other parts of the methodology. But bringing your attention to the board report that was prepared, you do see a fee comparison, and you see an increase in residential of about 19%. Just for the sake of comparison, we did look at the Engineering News Record, which is our suggested source for construction cost indices increases. And in the same time period, if we had just applied that index, it would have been about a 25% increase. So again, why is there a difference here? Difference is because we drilled down and looked more closely at actual costs that have been incurred by the district for construction. Let's talk for a moment about the non-residential. Why is that showing a different increase? And frankly, that's because we use a better source now for our density calculations for non-residential. We used to use some sources that were more standardized, not as defined. This is a source from a Nadelson study that was actually done to determine densities for different types of uses, somewhat with the idea of impact fees in mind. And in the past, we had to sort of back into the data from some other sources. So this is now our company standard for impact fee documentation is using this Nadelson source. Again, if you, going back to some of the broader issues in the report, if you have the report in front of you and look at page 3, you could see that the district is anticipating, or with the county planning projections, we're looking at more than doubling the existing service population within the Salida Fire Protection District. If, however, you look at their planned facilities, they currently have 3 stations, and they're actually looking at serving their projected increase in development with the addition of some additional improvements to facilities at Station 1 and 2, including the addition of some sleeping quarters. But the addition of only 2 additional stations. So you see in this process actually that, and this often happens with fire districts and fire facilities, there are some economies of scale that are recognized as you have denser development. Fire service delivery is predicated a lot on response time. And so as you have more infill development over time, you see an increase in the efficiency of delivering those services. With that, I'd like to open it up if anyone on the board has any specific questions.
Is there any questions before I open a public hearing? Seeing none, okay, I'm going to open a public hearing. Is there anyone in the public who would like to speak to this matter? Seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the board. Is there still any questions?
I move approval.
Okay, it's been moved by Jeff Grover.
Second.
Second by Bill O'Brien. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you. 5-0.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I know that Dale Skiles is here, and he appreciates the support that you've given to him in the past, and certainly today in recognition, especially of being able to provide services to those folks that will be moving into Salida as the community plan moves forward. So thanks again.
Thank you. Next, we have a 9:20 public hearing. Public hearing to consider the introduction and waiving of the first reading of an ordinance amending existing parties of interest research fees for the Treasurer Tax Collector's Office. Gordon Ford. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Chairman Mayfield and Supervisors. I'm Gordon Ford, Treasurer Tax Collector, and I'm here for the approval, introduction, and waiving first reading ordinance for existing to amend the existing party of interest research fee. This is a fee used to find people. Basically, after 5 years, if people do not pay property taxes, I'm forced to sell property, and that's something I don't want to do. So we try and do everything we can to find people, and we're pretty good at it. This last time, we only sold 3 properties, so I think that speaks well. But in order to do that, one of the last steps we do is we hire an outside consultant to find parties of interest. That's so we can locate banks, relatives, anybody who might pay the property tax and avoid the sale. Currently, Harmony Research, who does it for us, charges $110 per parcel. Under the old fee structure, we recover $35. This is the $35 is placed upon the property owner, who then redeems the property, or upon sale, we recover it. We've been taking a substantial loss on this. It hasn't been a large amount, but in lieu of what's happening in the real estate market, I think it's incumbent upon us to try and recover our costs, so we're here today to seek approval to recover the $110. Open up for any questions.
Okay. Is there any questions of Gordon? Seeing none, public hearing?
Do you have one?
Is
this just a flat $110, no matter how hard it is to try and find the...
That's our current contract with Harmony, and we hope to keep it at that level, yes.
As I imagine, some of them would be quite easy to find where...
Right.
There's so many foreclosed houses now, especially in Patterson, that I understand that, you know, the person who took out the mortgage put that company, and that the mortgage company has sold the mortgage to somebody else, and sometimes has been sold to somebody else. And the cities are having a hard time trying to determine who the owner is, too. So that's just $110, no matter how much work it is.
Given our size and what we've required in the past, that's the fee that we've negotiated with Harmony. If you take a look at the staff report, you'll notice that Fresno's 100, but almost everybody else is higher, substantially higher than ours. So we've negotiated a pretty good fee with Harmony, partly because of the ability to find people. But again, that's an important aspect we have. We have to find all parties of interest. When we finally do sell the property, we sometimes have parties come back and complain that they have not been contacted or whatever. And so we have to be able to show that we've done the parties of interest research.
Mm. Did you share this information with the cities?
On the sale, yes. Yes.
Okay, thank you.
We like anybody.
Anyone else? Okay, now I'm going to open it up. Open the public hearing. Is there anyone out there who would like to speak on this matter? Okay, seeing no one, I'll bring it back to the board. Close the hearing. What's the pleasure of the board?
They'll open it.
Second. It's been moved to second over here on my right-hand side. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried 5-0. Thank you. Now we go down to, I think it's B7, right, Patty? Okay, B7, and this is going to consideration approval of the third quarter financial report for the fiscal year 2007-2008. Okay, that's all I'm going to read, and you can tell us about it.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Patty Hill-Thomas from the Chief Executive Office. With me this morning is Monica Nino, as well as Cynthia Tomlinson, key members of our CEO budget team. I'd like to just take an opportunity to thank our CEO budget team for what it seems like day and night year-round budgeting now. They're very talented and dedicated, as well as our department heads and their management teams. The organization remains very vigilant, and we're proud to bring you a positive fiscal report today that shows and predicts that we will end the year in a positive fiscal position, but one that's peppered with caution because the emerging budget situation seems to grow more critical and perhaps more threatening with each day. It is a prelude to our year-end close and our new proposed budget. And I might just say at the beginning that the state budget is far from being completed. The rumors, which now seem to be more like news reports, is that regrettably the state deficit grows and the threats to local programs are really emerging. What we'll do this morning is do our very best to give you a sense of our regular fiscal reporting to you.
Would you like to introduce your budget team there?
Oh, I would love to.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll have to stand, I'll have to turn around to do that. We have Christina Alfaro.
Who are they at?
Let's stand up.
There we go.
Doris Foster. Raul Mendez. Jim Quartz. I think Stan Risen is somewhere in the back there. And Jody Hayes and Tara Chumley back over here from HR. And Nancy Bernstein is somewhere in the room. And Mark Lozier as well.
But we need somebody to blame. Isn't that right, Patty?
Yes, I knew about them. They're very, very wonderful, talented people. Thank you for that chance, Mr. Chairman. We do talk to you a lot about budget. That's the hallmark of our effort, is try to provide your board and the public with regular and very comprehensive fiscal reporting. Too much change is not to do that, and the exposure is too great. So it's really part of our thinking, and it's your direction and policy that leads us there. Every year, in addition to preparing a proposed and a final budget in your consideration, we do a budget four more times, really. We do a first quarter report, we do a mid-year report, and today we bring to you the third quarter report based on our performance for the 9 months so far and what we see coming ahead. Our goal is to not only determine but to report the fiscal performance of the county budget, identify outstanding budget issues, and make recommendations to you to ensure that we maintain a positive, balanced budget, which we do with your direction, and that we end the year in a positive fiscal position. We all make projections. Our CEO staff, our department heads and their staff, and we really focus on what are the bottom line recommendations we need to ask your board to consider to maintain a strong fiscal presence and accountability. When we have our June proposed budget hearing, I imagine that our presentation and your discussion and the community's involvement will be much greater than that we have planned for today. The continued loss of state and federal funding, the shrinking discretionary revenues, and the state of our economy. That's not just a government issue, but it's really an issue for our citizens, our communities, our entire state and nation, are really bringing forward a number of proposals that clearly look forward to budget reductions on the public side, particularly local government. We have spent much time talking about our health services agency and our behavioral health programs. You've recently made reductions in our planning department, and in May, regrettably, we're bringing forward recommendations regarding the library due to shrinking sales tax revenues there. It's much more likely that additional budget recommendations and reduction plans will need to be considered as we move through this challenging time. Just to go back a little bit, when we considered and brought recommendations to you that you adopted in the mid-year, we laid out a strategic approach for both the current year and next year and perhaps beyond. For the current year and next year, we asked you to allow us to implement a 16-month reduction plan to achieve at least a $5.9 million savings in the fund balance. Our report to you today says we're projecting three for the current year. We hope that we can continue to be vigilant. We know our departments are. They can give you lots of examples, and that we will focus on growing that estimate before year-end and beyond. We provided each county department head with a targeted 2% reduction in the current year with only 4 months to go. And for the most part, you'll see in a moment in the chart, those targets have been made. In this chart, we have identified by your board's priority both the total targeted reduction for departments that fall as well as what's projected to be achieved in the current year. I really want to underscore that while we didn't make the total, we made it in most cases, and with only 4 months to go, this exceeded our expectations, because in a short period of time to create those additional savings was critical. You might recall at mid-year point, we were really concerned about having measurable year-end savings, and this effort has really helped in that regard. We didn't achieve this everywhere, and to have gone beyond this in the current year would have called for some significant reductions, particularly in the public safety area, which we were not prepared to recommend for your consideration. It's really important to also underscore that departments have been vigilant and dedicated. Vacant positions are not being filled. Collaborations are being sought that are new and creative. And we really are trying to focus as the organization on doing what we can with less and avoiding as many negative impacts as possible. Unfortunately, we don't think that'll be possible countywide, particularly in the current and upcoming year. Some other parts of our strategy recommended that we minimize transfers from the contingency fund. And we believe with the recommendations being made to you today, we've really done that and only recommended funding were absolutely essential to continue important programs between now and the end of the year. Looking at our appropriation for contingency or your emergency fund, which requires a 4/5 vote of your board, we began the year with $9.7 million. And that was a higher amount, you might recall, because we knew we had some real exposures in the current year that we were planning for and needed to be considered as early as the first quarter. As you can see in the first quarter adjustments, the $4.2 million, most of that $4.2 million, or actually $4.1 million, was a one-time planned augmentation to our health services agency clinic system for the current year deficit while we sought and achieved and started to receive the revenue from the federally qualified health care status, look-alike status. Our mid-year adjustments were actually smaller than we normally recommend as well, at $2.2 million. And in our report presented to you today, we're recommending a total transfer from the contingency fund of just a little over $706,000. This will leave $2.5 million between now and the end of the year, and we'll work very hard with our departments to make recommendations that we not use that to the extent possible. There were other elements of our strategic plan that you adopted, including considering creating savings from the Economic Development Bank and the plant acquisition budget, both of which are represented in our projections, as well as perhaps reducing some money we set aside for the first time this current year that would be used ultimately for our Public Safety Center expansion. Looking ahead to next year, all of the budgets are in, the totals have been added up, and our budget team members are busily meeting with all of the county departments, going through a great level of detail of what next year budget looks like. All of this while we wait for what's likely to be a significant revision to be issued on May 14th by the governor of next year's budget proposal. Our budget looks like a $12 million shortfall for next year at the current level of service. And part of our strategy continues to focus on maintaining our no backfill policy for state or federally reduced programs, and that we continue to focus on developing program-specific reduction plans for those state and federal budget cuts. But there's a great deal of uncertainty about what those will actually be. We are considering with the strategy using one-time savings or retained earnings in some of our risk management funds, perhaps reducing or eliminating again the set-aside plan for next year towards Public Safety Center expansion, and some interim suspension for the Economic Development Bank. All of those are factors as we prepare a proposed budget that you'll consider on June the 9th. An important part of our current effort will be considered this week by the county's Debt Advisory Committee and then come back to your board for consideration to revise the methodology and the reserves for penalties in the Tax Loss Reserve Fund, or TEDR. We've also asked every county department to prepare a targeted reduction plan of 3%, and all of those evaluations are currently underway. It is our recommendation and intention to recommend that we do not use reserves and designations for operating expenses, but rather we balance our revenues and operating expenses in this challenging time. Clearly what this means at third quarter is that the budget reductions that are already underway in some cases in the current year are necessary in order to end the year in a positive position, and we're confident that we will. And that, regrettably, also funding for county programs at virtually every level, because it's such a mix of sources that some county programs are threatened in one way or another. We will work hard to bring you a balanced spending plan that minimizes those threats wherever possible. This picture before you is one you have seen before, and that is a summary of the final budget at adoption time at $945 million and now over $1 billion by the adjustments already approved in the current year by your board's priorities. As you can see, the largest portion of the county budget goes to the healthy community programs, and the largest portion of the general fund budget goes to our safe community programs. With that, Monica is going to take you through some details, so thank you.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. Monica Nino from the Chief Executive Office. What we have before you today for third quarter is we are recommending our third quarter adjustments by board priority totaling $5,259,024. Within your various board priorities, we are recommending a $371,462 increase in safe community. For a healthy community, we are recommending a $4,926,482 increase for a healthy community. There are no recommended third quarter adjustments for either a strong local economy or a strong agricultural economy or heritage. For a well-planned infrastructure, we are recommending an adjustment of $320,000 and a reduction in our efficient delivery of public services of $358,920 for a total of third quarter adjustments of $5,259,024. I will start first with a safe community. Overall, estimated revenue and expenditures for a safe community are recommended to increase by $26,542 and $371,462, respectively. A total of $344,920 is recommended to be transferred from appropriations for contingencies to cover a portion of these additional expenses. I'll now go through by department and share with you what those various recommendations are. For animal services, we are recommending $31,920 for retirement cash outs and increased fuel costs. For the Office of Emergency Services, we are recommending a transfer from the County Fire Service Fund to contribute towards the purchase of a vehicle for the fire warden. For the District Attorney, we are recommending an increase in appropriations of $243,000 for salary and benefits, vacation, termination, cash outs, along with additional costs related to a forensic accountant and additional transcripts, travel, and witness costs. For the public defender, we are recommending an increase of $20,000 for vacation cash outs. For the public defender indigent defense costs, we are recommending an increase of $50,000, but that increase will only take place at year-end in the event that the budget does require it. For a healthy community, overall estimated revenue and expenditures are recommended to increase by $4,950,299. And expenditures are recommended to increase by $4,926,482, which will contribute to the department's a positive contribution to fund balance of $23,817. Within Behavioral Health and Recovery Services, we're recommending the transfer of $4.1 million of the estimated net proceeds from the sale of Stanislaus Behavioral Health Center to our Behavioral Health and Recovery Services Special Revenue Fund. This is just a transfer between the county's enterprise fund to the Behavioral Health and Recovery Services Fund in the Special Revenue Fund. For the Community Services Agency, we are recommending an increase in appropriations and estimated revenue of $737,743 for increased state allocation for the Stage 1 Child Care Program. Within a well-planned infrastructure system, overall estimated revenue and expenditures are recommended to increase by $71,000 and $320,000, respectively. This adjustment is requested within our Public Works Morgan Schott budget. an increase as a result of increased depreciation and fuel costs, and their revenue increases coming from additional federal reimbursement and fuel sales. Within efficient delivery of public services, overall, we are recommending expenditures to be reduced by $358,920. Appropriations for contingencies, this budget unit is located within the board's efficient delivery board priority. We are recommending before you today, which does require a 4/5 vote, a transfer from appropriations for contingencies of $706,074. And the following, that transfer will fund various expenses within animal services, district attorney, public defender, and also contribute towards our North McHenry sales tax sharing agreement. For our county match budget unit, we are recommending an increase of $347,154. That is where the expense occurs for the North McHenry sales tax sharing agreement, along with a reduction in county match that gets contributed to our Department of Justice alcohol and drug testing program. Within our General Services Agency 12th Street office building, we're recommending transferring those costs that are in a special revenue fund to our General Fund General Services Agency Facilities Maintenance Fund. That's where those expenses will take place for a net impact of zero. And those total expenses that will be transferred total $421,754. The third quarter financial report for 2007-2008 includes the following staffing recommendations. We are recommending the deletion within the safe community of a deputy director of emergency dispatch. Within a healthy community, we're recommending the deletion of a public health nurse too, along with the addition of a staff services analyst within the health services agency public health budget. Within a well-planned infrastructure, we're recommending the deletion of a park aide. Within efficient delivery, we are recommending the addition of one confidential assistant for within the clerk of the board's budget for an overall net reduction of our allocated positions of one to have our total recommended authorized positions at 4,478. As we look ahead, as Ms. Hill Thomas mentioned, the state budget definitely is our growing uncertainty. We recognize the fact that more than likely our state budget will not be approved when we come before you for your consideration of our proposed budget in June. And recognizing that, we will be, and our goal would be, is that the state budget would be approved by the time we bring the final budget before you in September. And we are anticipating that more than likely on May 14, the governor will be coming up with a larger deficit beyond the $16 billion. Excuse me. 2008-2009 governor's proposed budget, as we've all read and seen, the governor has been trying to establish a level of a rainy day fund for the state of California. Current state spending formulas are very restrictive, very much even within in bad economic times. With this growing state budget deficit, it will definitely impact our health and welfare programs, and there is a potential that it will be growing within above that $16 billion. Final conclusions in the third quarter. The state's growing deficit will have those great impacts along with our local sales and property tax reductions. Right now, our projections for our 2008-2009 discretionary revenue, we are projecting a negative property tax growth of 6%. That will definitely have an impact on any level of growth within our general fund budget, and will definitely have a direct impact within reducing various programs and service levels within our general fund departments, and also any non-general fund departments that receive a general fund contribution within our health and welfare programs. We have 8 recommendations before you today. The first is to accept our third quarter report for 2007-2008. Along with authorizing the use of $706,074 in transfers from appropriations for contingencies, which does require a 4/5 vote. We are recommending the authorization for the Chief Executive Officer and the Auditor Controller to make the necessary budget adjustments within the third quarter report. And authorizing the Chief Executive Officer to make the necessary budget adjustments to achieve the appropriate fund balance at year end. also authorize the auditor controller to make the necessary year-end closing entries as approved by the chief executive officer. And the recommended salary changes, we are recommending that those be effective as of May 10th, 2008 by amending the salary and position allocation resolution. And approving the contracts and or agreements attached on attachment B that amount to $100,000 or greater since July 1st of 2003, along with setting the public hearing for the proposed budget on June 10th at 9:15 and to continue it the following 2 days if necessary. We would be more than happy to answer any questions you have.
Is there any questions of staff? Is there anyone in the audience would like to ask anything? I see nobody. Okay. So now we need to approve this, right?
Board action. Need a board action.
We need some board action, and there's four people on the, both sides of me. Who wants to make a motion?
I'll so move.
Okay, you'll so move? And who's going to second it?
I'll second it, Mr. Chairman.
Any second it? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried 5-0. Thank you, staff.
Thank you,
Patty. Thank you, Monica.
Thank you,
all of you. I'm going to blame it all on you. Okay, with that, I think we go down to correspondence, right?
Yes. This board has received a letter from Senator Boxer regarding her concerns of the adequate number of federal firefighting forces in the U.S. Forest Service in California.
Refer this to the Department of the CEO's Office of Emergency Services.
This board has received a letter from Indelex, Inc. regarding their plans to permanently close their Modesto facility located at 4555 North Stars Way in Modesto, where with all employees at this facility being separated from the company, and the first separations are expected to occur during the 14-day period beginning on June 24, 2008, per the Worker Adjustment and Retaining Notification Act.
Refer this to the Alliance WorkNet and the Stanislaus County Economic Development and Workforce Alliance.
This board has received a letter from the Westport Fire Protection District requesting the implementation of a biannual audit instead of an annual audit.
Refer this to the Auditor Controller.
This board has received a letter from the Morrison Forester regarding Measure E, the SOS initiative on the Salida Area Planning Initiative.
I'm going to refer this to the County Council and Department of Planning and Community Development.
This board has received the claims as noted on the agenda.
I'm going to make the audit receipt of claims and refer to the Chief Executive Office, Risk Management Division. We better hurry because there's nobody left. Okay. The board, and okay, is there any Board of Supervisors report?
No.
Nothing today? Okay. Over here?
None.
Okay. We have legislative, physical, and management report from our chief executive office.
Yes, I have just a couple items to discuss with you this morning. First, as has already been indicated, the May revise, we are expecting to be delivered by the governor on May 14th. That's next week. While we're uncertain of the content of his presentation, we do expect that it will have significant adverse impacts on local government's ability to deliver services. Numbers from $14 to $20 billion as a state deficit have been filtering through our communities. I would point out that the $20 billion sounds like a significant number. Nobody has yet been able to quantify what the $20 billion is. The LAO has looked at it and really can't speak to whether it's a real number or not. So we're moving forward assuming that the number is going to be somewhere between $16 and $20 billion, but we're not quite certain at what level the report will come out on the 14th. We also report that CEO staff are working diligently with city managers in the cities on both the transportation tax measure developing both concept regional projects and local projects for future consideration. Also spending a lot of time with city managers and their representatives on our animal services planning process, both relative to continued operations, the the long-term structure of animal services as an organization, and finally the capital needs of our animal services programs.
Okay, we have a closed session today.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, there's two matters on the agenda to be heard in closed session this morning. One is a conference with legal counsel regarding existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9. And this is the Committee Concerning Community Improvement et al. Versus County of Stanislaus et al. That's United States District Court, Eastern District of California, case number SIVF04-6121, LJO-DLB. The second matter is conference with real property negotiator. The property under this is taken pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.8, and the property under discussion is the Stanislaus Waste Energy Facility at 4040 Crow's Landing Road in Crow's Landing, California. The agency negotiator is Richard Robinson, and the owner negotiator is Covanta Stanislaus Incorporated, and under negotiation are both the lease terms and price. And that's we do not expect report back on either of these matters.
We're adjourned.